Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor of Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is part of a series called Welcome Home. When home's a really good place, there's nothing like coming home. In God's plan, home is where we are family, loved, accepted unconditionally, and surrounded by hope and encouragement. God, our Heavenly Father, invites us to come home to the place He's prepared for us. We'll be exploring a powerful story or parable that Jesus told to help us get ready to experience what it means to be at home with God. We are looking at an incredible story that Jesus told. It's called a parable, sometimes called the parable of the prodigal son. And that's found in Luke chapter 15. In the parable of the prodigal son, we often focus on the one who's called the prodigal, the son, the younger son. And we looked at him last week a little bit. But also there's an older son in this story. And really, the story is more about him than the one that we often give the title of the parable to. And so before we get into looking at the elder son tonight, I just, in case you weren't here last week or you're not familiar with the story, let me just catch you up to where we're at in the story as Jesus told it. It begins with the younger son. He goes off, he asks his inheritance early, gets a large sum of money, goes off, squanders it all, goes far away from his father, gets to the point where he spends it all, he hits bottom, he's starving to death. And he finally realizes it's better just to go home. I can't go home as a son because I've been disowned as a son. My best shot is to go home and be a slave and be a servant to my father. He goes home and his father receives him back as a son and throws a huge party. I mean, we're talking huge. No expense was spared for this party. The finest of foods. He gave him the best clothes, it says the very best robe. He gave him jewelry. He gave him it was a party with musicians and dancing and everybody was invited. It was a huge deal. Now, the older son comes, and that's where we're going to pick up the story. He encounters this party going on. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15, and this is also, you can use the Bibles that are in front of you. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start in verse 25 where we pick up the older son's reaction. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. He came near the house, he heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants and asked him, "What's going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fatted calf because he was to him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry, refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours," notice how he says that, "who squandered your property and with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him?" "My son," the father said, "you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is a story of two sons who are brothers, of course. The younger son in this story represents a group of people. It represents folks who are considered sinners. Folks who want freedom. They don't want to be under the influence of God or any father. They want to do life on their own terms. They want to do it their way. And what's interesting in this story, as we introduced it last week, was these are the very kind of people, the non-religious kind of people, or at least folks who've given up on religion, they're the ones who are attracted to Jesus. They're the ones that like being with Him. And that's who the younger son represents. But now we encounter the elder son. Who does the older son represent? He represents the ones who condemned Jesus for hanging out with the sinners. They were the religious ones. In particular, there were religious leaders who were condemning Jesus for the people he was associating with. The older son represents religious people, but the worst kind of religion. Now, in the story, as we were reading it, what we picked up was that the older son comes back and discovers the party's going on, and he is not pleased that the father has responded so positively to his irresponsible, immature, immoral brother. How could his father be doing all of these crazy things like throwing this big party? He ought to be punishing him. He ought to be doing something, you know, nasty to this boy that didn't quite get it. You see, if you put yourself in the seat of the older son, it would have been normal for the father to certainly accept the son back, but the son would have to pay back everything he squandered, which we assume to be about a third of the estate. And of course, he had no money, so how's he going to pay it back? The only way he could pay it back was by being a slave. It would have been okay for the older son if the father would have said, yes, you can come back, but you got to work it off. But not only that, had the father done that, then the older brother, the older son, would have got to be the master over the younger son. He would have been the one in charge of making sure that that boy, that irresponsible boy, worked hard and paid off all that he squandered. And I think the older brother was kind of looking forward to that. I get to really be the older dude with my younger brother. And then he's not at all pleased with the fact that the father gave the younger son the very best robe of the house. You see, that robe really should have gone to the older brother. That really, the very best things of the estate should have gone to the oldest son. And then on top of all that, this younger brother squanders all this money, wastes all their resources, and now the father's spending even more money for this party. It just doesn't work for him at all. And so he begins to question his father. In fact, really, as you read it, he's bringing judgment on his father. Now, don't miss the parallel here. That's exactly what the religious leaders did to Jesus. They didn't like how Jesus was treating the sinners. The older son didn't like the way the father was treating this sinning younger brother, younger son. So we have an exact parallel. So what happens is the older son, he questions the father, but he really goes farther than questioning. He really questions and therefore condemns the father's wisdom and the father's character. He's really going and saying, you're pretty stupid, if you want to use your own paraphrase. Dad, I don't know what you're doing, but this is crazy. This is stupid. This is wrong. He says that to his father. In this story of the two sons, remember that we are all like those two sons. Sometimes we're like the younger son. Sometimes we're like the older son. And we've all at times questioned God's character. And we didn't say it that way, but we expected God to do a certain thing and it didn't work. We prayed a certain way and God didn't answer our prayers the way we expected, and we get upset at God. good things happen to bad people and bad things happen to good people, and we don't understand that, and we question God, why did you allow this to happen? Where were you when you should have been there to do whatever it is we thought God should do? We're not so unlike the older son. Now, in fact, both sons dishonored their father. The younger son dishonored his father by saying, "Father, I wish you were dead, because if you were dead, I'd get the inheritance. I want the inheritance now." He didn't want to have any influence from the father, and he takes off, and he just leaves. But the older son does the same thing. He dishonors the father. The father goes out and begs the older son to come into the party. And he refuses. He'll have nothing to do with it. He disobeys the wishes of his father. He's angry at his father. And now he's chosen, maybe for the first time, to be disobedient to his father. And he's not going to have anything to do with what's going on. And so he decides to remain separate, distant from his father in all that's going on. This is the ugly side of being good. The older son was good. He did everything right. He was obedient. And he thought he deserved more because he was the good guy in this story. You can just hear him say, if he didn't say it out loud, he was certainly thinking it, going, "Man, I have worked so stinking hard. I've been the good kid. And what do I get from being good and obedient? I never got anything like a party that's being thrown." And he's angry and he's becoming bitter. In fact, he even begins to assume that the father now actually likes the younger son better. You know, the old sibling rivalry. Older son should get all the attention and should get all the respect. And now this younger son, who's messed up royal, now he's getting the father's favor? The sinner? No way. And so with that pride, and that's what it is, it's pride, he refuses to be with the father. Now, in honesty, you and I, we're reading this, especially the very first time you read this, you really have more empathy for the older son. I mean, you read the story and you kind of go, yeah, he was the good guy. He should have got a lot better treatment, certainly better than the younger son, because the younger son didn't deserve it. I mean, the older son, dutiful, good. He obeyed his father. He worked like a dog. He followed all the rules. He didn't go out drinking. He didn't chase after women. He was the one that got the full ride scholarship to school, got straight A's, honor roll. Well, they didn't have colleges back then, but you can kind of picture how this played out. And the younger son, he either didn't go to school at all or he flunked out. Man, there's no way that the younger son should be treated that way. The older son says, "I deserved more." That is the ugly side of being good. So what's at the bottom of this anger that the older son has? Well, see, he thought he'd earned the father's favor until he compared himself to what was going on with the younger son then. He thought he had done all the right things, so he should have gotten certain things. And this is the core of religious behavior. Religious people think by doing the right things, doing good things, they have earned the Father's favor. Now let's just be blunt. What in reality is happening is that when you talk in spiritual terms, the older son thinks he can save himself. He thinks by doing the right things, enough things, he is saving himself. He is now putting himself in favor with the Father. And that's the core of all religious behavior. You look even at other religions. In the Muslim religion, if you're going to be saved in the Muslim religion, it's because you have to do more good things than bad. And at the end of your life, it's weighed out. Is there more good or more bad? The Jewish faith, same thing. You earn God's favor by doing the prescribed things that you're told to do. You earn it. And Christianity is whacked out. Now, don't stop there and quit listening. But it's different than any other thing because it's not about what we do. We can't do enough good. We cannot save ourselves. And that's why these two sons are such a significant contrast. You see, hard work, the older son said, I slaved for you. Hard work isn't it. He didn't do that hard work out of a real love for the Father. He did it out of obligation, obedience, and expecting a reward. You see, he did that hard work because he expected to be noticed and rewarded. And that's what religious people do. They do the right thing, the hard thing, because they want to be noticed by God and respected and rewarded for that work. That is religion. And if you work hard enough and if you do enough of the right things, then you earn chips. You got some bargaining chips, and now you've got something to bargain with God about. God, I did all these things. I'm cashing in. You owe me. That's exactly how religion works. You see, the older son represents the older sons of the world. And sometimes you and I are like that older son. You know, we think, I'm going to pray regularly. I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to go to church faithfully. I'm going to serve others, genuinely serve others. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to do all these right, good things. And God, that's somehow going to count. Somehow you're going to remember that. And somehow I'm going to get rewarded for doing that. The sick thing about that is you can do all those things which are really good things to do and miss God in it. And that is the problem. We can do these religious things and miss the Father. The older son was doing all these things and missed the relationship with his Father. And worse, and this is why Jesus tells this story, the older sons of this world look down on the rest. They look down on the sinners who are inferior to them. Even thinking at times, God doesn't owe them anything because they've messed up. They're getting what they deserved. Which the assumption is that I should get what I deserve for being good. That is the ugly side of being good. And it's why so many people today have rejected the church and ultimately even rejected God. Because folks have come across older brothers who were proud, who made it clear that they were better than them, that they had it right, they were doing the right things, they were religious, they were good, they had it all together, and these sinners, they don't have a chance. And that's why the Pharisees were so mad at Jesus, because he said, no, that's not the way you look at it. You see, the Father loved the younger son, and the Father loved the older son. He loved them both. And he invites them both into a relationship with him. You know, it's interesting. Both sons are in many ways are alike. Now, granted, they are very different. They chose different paths in life. But in the end, if you really look at this story, they're actually much the same. They both wanted something from their father, but didn't really want their father. People do that all the time. They want something from God, don't necessarily really want God. They both worship themselves. You see, the younger son worshiped himself, meaning he was the center of life because he said, I want to do life my way. I want to do it on my terms. Give me my money so I can live life my way. Very self-centered, worshiping himself. You say, well, how did the older son worship himself? It's the same thing. I've worked hard. I deserve more. I deserve better. They both ultimately resented the authority of their father. The younger son just said, I'm out of here. I'm going to live life without your influence. The older son questions the authority of the father. What right do you have to treat the younger son that way? And so as sons, whether we choose our own path, whether we choose the religious path, we're always in danger of missing God, missing a relationship with the Father. And that's ultimately what it's all about. It's all about having life with the Father, getting to know Him, understanding Him, sharing life together. That's what it's all about. There's good news in all this. We've all messed up. We've messed up as younger sons, being rebellious and doing bad things. We've messed up being prideful and trying religious effort to earn God's favor. It doesn't matter who we are, we've all sinned. That's what Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We've all sinned. All of us, younger and older sons. None of us escape that. But in spite of who we are, younger or older, we are loved by our Father. He loves us. He ran out to the younger son. He ran out to the older son. He went to both of them. By the way, remember what Jesus said about himself? He goes and seeks and to save that which was lost. You see, Jesus came for one critical purpose, to bring us back into relationship with God. Now, the most profound way that he does that is through his death. By Jesus' death, he removes the barriers between us and God. No longer, because of Jesus' death, do we have to fear the punishment of our sins. We don't have to fear the Father condemning us. We don't have to be afraid in that relationship, but rather we can draw near to the Father. And that over and over and over. If you read Jesus, he says it again and again. He came to reintroduce us to God the Father. He wants us to get connected to God the Father. He wants us to come home, to have a spiritual home. That's this whole purpose why Jesus came. And in doing so, referring to the older son, he saves us from religion. We don't have to earn it. It's offered as an invitation. Jesus invites us into the banquet table where we can sit at the table with God the Father and enjoy life with Him. And that's His whole purpose for that. Now, when you think of this, the story, the parable, two sons. Which one was saved? Which one was lost but found? Now, we already know they both sinned. And we already know that the younger son came home, confessed his sin, and was welcomed by the Father. But this story ends in a very interesting way. The story ends with the older son still standing outside. He hasn't come home all the way. Can you picture this in your mind? There's this party going on. Music and dancing. He can probably smell the food. And he refuses. He stands outside by himself where everybody else is in the house. Jesus doesn't end this story with a resolution. He doesn't tell us the decision the older son makes. And he does that for a reason. Whenever Jesus tells a story and doesn't finish the story, you know why? Because we have to decide how we are going to finish the story for ourselves. Are we going to be the older son who stands outside and refuses to come to the Father? Or are we going to humble ourselves and be willing to come home? It's our decision. You know, Tim Keller wrote an outstanding book. It's called The Prodigal God. It's an amazing book, and it's a short book. I like short books because I can read them quickly. And in the book on the prodigal God, which he unpacks this whole story of the prodigal son, he identifies a number of signs or symptoms of the older son. In fact, I'd like to call it the older son syndrome. In other words, when we live this religious life, when we try to earn God's favor by being good or good enough, we act like older sons. There's some things that tend to happen that we can begin to see. And you can see it in others who also are acting like older sons. And he gives a number of these, and I want to just quickly identify them because they're really, really helpful and good. Older sons, religious people, tend to get angry with God. They tend to even get to a place where they can become bitter with God. Why? They worked hard. They did the right things. They deserve something from God, and then God doesn't produce like they thought he should. What's the response? Anger. It's not right. It's not fair. And if a person stays in that, it can lead to bitterness. Older sons tend to feel superior to others, and so it's very easy for them to be judgmental and condemning of others. They can look down at others because they've obviously done everything right, or at least done a lot more right. We see that in older sons. And because of that sense of superiority, they don't have any sense that they need to forgive the younger sons, the sinners. You know, what's interesting about that is that unforgiveness is common amongst the older sons. But you know what? The irony of that is that we're all sinners. So how can we accept God's forgiveness and then not offer it to others? You see, the inability or unwillingness to forgive is the ultimate hypocrisy. God has forgiven me, but I'm not willing to forgive others. Self-centeredness. It's all about me. It's what I've done. I've done this, I've done that. I've been good, I've been right. Maybe not perfect, but I've done a lot of good stuff. And so it's all about me. That very life draws it back to me, who I am, what I've done. Older sons, religious people, tend to be really, let's just say they struggle with experiencing joy in their faith. Kind of faith for them is a burden. I got to work harder. I got to do more. I got to sacrifice more. I got to be better. I gotta work harder. That's what it always comes down to. And then what happens is, if you do that for a while, you sort of get tired. And then as you get tired, there's no joy anymore. It's not about the relationship with God. It's about what I am doing or need to do or what I haven't done enough of. You know, it's interesting. In Jesus' final conversation with his disciples, he really addresses this. I'm not going to read it. I'll just tell it to you. But it's found in John 15:15. Jesus said this: I no longer call you slaves. It's not about slavery. Oh, I got to do this, and what did the younger brother said? I have slaved for you. Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves. I call you my friends. Relationship. Older sons, religious people, live in a lot of fear. Fear of God. Now, there's a right biblical idea of the fear of God. That's when we respect God. But I'm talking about fear, the kind of fear that says, I'm not sure I measure up. I'm not sure even when I die that I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not really sure that I'm acceptable to God, which, by the way, is no different than the Muslim religion. As a Muslim, you don't know if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds until you die, and it's too late to change it. That's what religion does. And if we stay in that religious mode, if we stay as older sons and we live that way, we find ourselves just spiritually empty. And oftentimes at that point just become bored with the whole thing. That's the dangers. That's the symptoms. That's the traits of what happens when we choose the path of the older son, the elder brother. So how do we apply this part of the story? I just gave you a list of symptoms. And as you listen to those, you know, I want you to think through which ones of those really describe me. If you didn't write them down, you can't remember them. We always put those online. They're in the message notes. You can look at them online and kind of go through there. You know, I was talking about anger and bitterness and judgmental, being condemning, self-centered, unforgiving, joyless, burdened, spiritually empty, afraid. If any of those things describe you and you go, yeah, then I want you just to take some time to look at how you're doing your relationship with God. Is it the older brother approach? Am I trying to earn God's favor? Am I trying to work hard? Am I trying to do good things? Now, there's nothing wrong with doing good things. The Apostle Paul says we should do good things. But for what reason? Not to get the Father's approval. Those things flow out of the fact that we have the Father's approval. It's not earning God's acceptance. It's accepting God's acceptance. It's accepting the fact that He loves us with all of our warts, with all of our inadequacies, with all of our failures. And that we move from religion to relationship. That's when life gets really good spiritually. We're free. We're free to experience the Father, the very reason why Jesus came. Now, there's two verses in the Bible that I think are the most profound summary of this story. Two verses, one sentence. And I want to look at it. It's actually found, the Apostle Paul wrote it. It's found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. This is a great summary of this parable, at least about the sons. Paul writes, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this, not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This is exactly talking about the older son. It is by grace. It is by the Father's kindness and mercy that we are saved. Through faith, through trusting the Father. Not like the older son who questioned the Father, but really trusting the Father through faith. And this isn't not from ourselves. It's not because we're good enough to do this. The salvation, the welcome home by God the Father is a gift. And if it's a gift, all we have to do is receive it, accept it. Not by works. You don't earn the gift. You'll never do enough good to earn the gift so that no one can boast, because no one can say, look how good I am, like the older son. I want to encourage you to really meditate, reflect on these two verses. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And I want to encourage you to memorize it. I want to give you an assignment. I want you to memorize Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Now, let me just warn you. We're going to start another series in a few weeks. And in that series, I'm going to also ask you to memorize Ephesians 2:8-9. So get started now. I'm going to actually add one more verse when we get there later. But this is a powerful verse that we all need to understand. We need to understand it. We need to be reminded. When we memorize Scripture, God's Spirit reminds us of that. Hey, don't be an older brother. Don't be an older son. It's a gift. So I want you to memorize it, okay? And if you don't right now, I'm going to ask you again. And I'll keep at it. No, I'm As we finish this part on the older son, the question I want to ask is, do we have the heart of the Father? You see, the heart of the Father in this, which is the heart of Jesus, was that He loved all people, including the sinners, including the ones who've messed up royally, including the irreligious, non-religious, the immoral, the irresponsible, the immature. If we say we love God, we have to understand who God is, and we have to love people like God loves people. We have to love the younger sons. The tragedy in this story is that the older son didn't love the younger son. He was hoping for punishment, not salvation. Jesus said He came to seek and save what was lost. God our Father is a God who welcomes saint and sinner to the banquet table. So the question becomes, are we doing that as well? Can we be a different kind of older brother? A real older brother? You see, in the right sense, the older brother above anybody, except maybe the father, should have been the one to say, oh, I am so glad my younger brother has come home. He should have been the second one to run and greet him. And he should have been the one helping to plan the party. May we be the right kind of elder brother to the younger sons of this world. Not agreeing with their behavior, not agreeing with the actions, but truly loving and welcoming those who were lost that can be found in the Father's love. And so one of the questions we ask ourselves is, who likes being around us? Let me just give you a little warning. If the folks who like being around you are older brother types, that's a problem. The ones that liked hanging around Jesus were the younger sons. May we live lives so much so that the younger sons of this world, the sinners, like hanging around us. And if they like hanging around us, it gives us an opportunity to introduce them to the Father. And that is the heart of God. We come to our time of communion. In just a moment, the communion service will pass the tray, take the cup and the bread, and pass the tray to the next person. Communion is a reminder. It's a reminder of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved. Not by our own works. Didn't come from us. It is by grace. That bread and that cup remind us of the grace and the mercy of God. And younger sons come to this time of communion and confess their sin. Remember what the younger son said we looked at last week? Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And I accept the fact that you've welcomed me home. Guess what older sons do at communion? Same thing. Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. And I want to come home. Older sons, younger sons do the same thing at communion. We confess the times we've pushed God away, the times we've run away from God, and we recommit to being at home with God the Father. After that, we'll pass our offering. If you're visiting with us, don't feel any obligation to give. Giving is not a way to earn God's favor. We just talked about that. It's not a religious way that you get to rack up points with God. It doesn't work that way. Remember what the Father said to the Son in verse 31? Let me read it to you. Think about this as you give. My Son, the Father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. One of the reasons why giving and our offerings are an act of worship is a time when we remember of all that God has blessed us with. All the spiritual blessings, all the physical blessings. And it's simply an opportunity for us to express back to God our love. Our offering is just simply a gift back to God of our love, appreciation, and gratitude. May we not be like the older son who didn't realize how good he had it. He had it so good all of those years and never even realized it. An offering's an opportunity for us to be reminded of how good God has been to us. Let's pray. God, protect us from the religious life. God, through the power of your word and the power of your spirit, lead us away from being older sons, from being judgmental and critical, from looking down at others, from trying to earn our way into your favor. God, help us to see your mercy and grace, feel it, and to accept it. And may that become the core of who we are. In Jesus' name, amen.